In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What are the comfortable words? Who knows what that phrase means? I know a few of you do, huh? What are the comfortable words? Come to me, all ye who travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. That's one of them. What's another? What's that? Yes. We got a few more in there. The comfortable words are a phrase that are given to a part of the liturgy in the traditional English liturgy that the 1979 Book of Common Prayer, Rite 2, left out, much to my sadness and horror. If you go to the prayer book and you turn to the Rite 1 Holy Eucharist, it's on page, what was it? 332. I knew it was 330-something. I was flipping through here. 332. Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to Him. These are the comfortable words. Thomas Cranmer, as a matter of fact, specified that these were to be read after the absolution at every service. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you, as John said. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, as Victor said. This is a true, this is my personal favorite, this is a true saying and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the last, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the perfect offering for our sins, not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Comfortable words, beautiful words, written and for our edification, knowing that Christ Jesus truly does love us, that we are safe with the Father by virtue of Jesus Christ. They are words that are meant to fill us with hope. And then we have Jesus today speaking what I would say are the uncomfortable words. Words that are unsettling. Not exactly edifying to our Christian faith, it would seem so on the surface. We have Jesus saying, you cannot be my disciple unless you hate your father and your mother and your children and your family. You cannot be my disciple if you don't hate everything else but me. And then at the end, what does he finish with? You must give up all of your possessions if you want to be my disciple. That's actually not a bad stewardship sermon. I really expect today's offering to be pretty good. We have Jesus speaking words that are really uncomfortable, unsettling, words that we kind of wiggle around with, or at least I do, because I fought with them all week. Why would Jesus, the man who is teaching us how to love our brothers and sisters, how we are to be family, how we are to be responsible to and for each other so that we can better this world and lead this into the reign of God that God so desperately wants for the world. Why now does he say that we must hate? So I pondered it. And as you know, I love word studies. So I started looking up and I thought, aha, perhaps this word hate means something different or could mean something different in the original Greek. In the original Greek, and I'm terrible at Greek, it is misē. And I looked up, what does missē mean? And it only has one definition, hate. That's not helpful at all. But as I was doing this word study on this word hate, there was an interesting notation, and you know how sometimes I get off on tangents, but I looked up, what language did Jesus originally speak? Aramaic. And I looked up some Aramaic. You know what the Aramaic word for hate is? There isn't one. There is not a word for hate in Aramaic. So I thought, well, that's interesting. They do, however, have a word, sanah. Sanah means to love less than. To love less than. And I thought, aha, well, light bulb clicks on. Jesus isn't saying for us to hate as it was translated into Greek, because Greek definitely has a word for hate. Jesus is telling us that unless we order our lives with God first, unless we put first in our lives Love most of all God. Love most of all our work in the world as Christians. Love most of all following Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, no matter what it means. Unless we put Jesus first, we don't really follow Jesus as a disciple. Unless we put God first, we aren't following Jesus as a disciple. Unless we can order our lives in such a way that all that we do and work towards and strive for is that kingdom of God, that perfect reign of God on earth as God reigns in heaven, unless we put that first, we have not done our Christian duty. We have not really followed Jesus. We've not really listened to what it is that he's tried to tell us. Because I truly do believe, my brothers and sisters, if we put Jesus first, if we put that desire to be workers for the kingdom of God first in our lives, we can order everything else perfectly. It doesn't seem like that. It doesn't seem like that whenever you want to follow what God wills for you and it uproots you in your life, or maybe takes you to a job that doesn't make as much money, or maybe it puts you in a place where you don't really want to be. Maybe it forces you to make difficult decisions about what it means to truly follow Jesus. Maybe decisions that aren't necessarily the best for you financially, best for you as your family, best for you so that you can sleep at night. But guess what? When you truly do take on that desire to follow where God wills for you, those other things work out. I truly do believe that. They may not work out the way that you wanted them to or thought they would, but there is a peace that passes all understanding that comes to your hearts and your minds and your soul whenever you truly do realize that, yes, you have followed Jesus. It is not always comfortable to be a follower of Jesus because it means that you have to actually go and do something. As I've said before, and I will say again, I will put it in gold letters someplace. If you think that being a Christian is easy, you're doing it wrong. Being a Christian is meant to be difficult. It's meant to be countercultural. It's meant to be counterintuitive to your own well-being, because being a Christian means that you put God first, you put others second, and you put yourself at the last of the line. That's what being a Christian is about. That is what loving God more than yourself, more than your family means. It means prioritizing what it is that this world needs. And this world, my brothers and sisters, is in desperate need of God. It's not comfortable to have to love radically, to live differently. But that peace, my brothers and sisters, that comes to our souls when we truly do organize our lives in the way that God wants and needs from us, placing God and His mission, our work, God's work, together with our hands. When we prioritize that, what peace, what true comfort we actually have that comes to our souls. That is a peace that can never be bought, can never be found any place other than resting in those beautiful, comfortable arms of God. And I pray, my brothers and sisters, as we go out in our daily lives, each of us can truly understand that we love God, our family, and ourselves in that order, so that this world can be transformed to truly the place of perfect peace that God so desperately wants for each and every one of us. Let's take comfort in that. Amen.